You're listening to the Hippie Haven Podcast. I'm Callie, a zero waste activist and public speaker, creator of Bestowed Essentials, a line of eco-friendly home and body products, owner of Hippie Haven Shop, the first refill store in South Dakota, and of course, host of this Hippie Haven Podcast. If you're new here, I release an episode every Wednesday, which you can get instantly downloaded to your phone for easy listening by subscribing to this podcast on any of the major podcasting apps. The show notes and full transcript for every episode are available on my website, hippiehavenpodcast.com. You can also learn more about me on the website or by following along on Instagram at hippiehavenshop. Before we get started, I have two pieces of big news today. First, my zero waste product manufacturing business, Bestowed Essentials, is in the running to win a $50,000 small business grant from FedEx. We actually made the top 100 finalists in last year's competition out of over 13,000 applicants across the US, and this year we are going to win, but we need your help. One of the major deciding factors is the number of votes each small business receives. So I'm asking every single one of my listeners to please go vote for us right now. The link to vote is in the show notes and it's also in our Instagram bio. And then save that link and set a reminder on your phone to vote every day until March 8th. If you're ultra passionate about our mission to make a zero waste lifestyle more affordable and accessible, please also share our voting page on your social media and encourage your friends to vote for us daily as well, because we really truly cannot do this without your support. And my second bit of news is that we just added a new member to the Bestowed Essentials / Hippie Haven joint team. Her name is Sophia, and she's our new communications coordinator. Unfortunately, Kelly will be leaving us soon, so Sophia will be taking over podcast production, social media management, running our Hippie Haven Facebook group, which if you haven't joined already, you should definitely go do so. She'll be scheduling my media appearances, some other new tasks, so please join me in welcoming Sophia to the team. This episode is part of my Live Your Best Life series as we start off 2020 doing the internal work to be our best selves so that we can then do more impactful external work to help others and the environment. And my guest today is Lunide Lewis. Born in Haiti, Lunide migrated to New York City at the age of 10. She then spent 12 years in Boston, where she received her bachelor's and master's degree in organizational psychology. She now lives in San Diego, California, where she pursued her doctorate degree in organizational psychology and leadership. Lunide is the host of the Best Morning Ever podcast. This podcast is the first of its kind, devoting a whole show discussing effective morning routine tips and chatting with entrepreneurs and thought leaders on how their healthy morning habits have contributed to their success. And that's exactly what we're talking about today here on the Hippie Haven podcast, plus Lunide's 9 morning steps for success. So let's get into today's episode. So first off, I'd love to learn more about your story.
I was born in Haiti. I'm an immigrant. I'm born of immigrant parents. South of Florida is a small little island called Haiti. And we came to the States looking for a better life. And so my parents got us up here and we came. And it was a total culture shock, Callie. I mean, we're talking about humidity, 90 degrees, 100 degrees. And we came in March and it was 32 degrees in Brooklyn. And so frigid air, it was just not that, but I saw snow for the first time and I was blown away by that. And so the whole thick thing about America just fascinates me. And to know that there's a place you can come and the opportunities are endless, like you control what you make of it. That was fascinating for me when we first landed here in the States. And that's what my whole life journey has been. Like, we become what we think about. We can create our destiny. We can create our world. We can create our day. We can create how we respond to obstacles or any circumstance. And so that's my background. I went ahead and I got a PhD. I have it in business psychology. And so I love research. And I started a podcast a year ago about best morning routines. And so I sit with entrepreneurs and talk about how their morning habits, their robust morning habits, contribute to their success. And the findings are mind-blowing.
Yeah. And what drew you to this specific topic?
So it started because I was diagnosed with adrenal fatigue in 2018, where you're wired but tired. Your glands are producing too much cortisol. So you're on a fight or flight mode at all times. And this all happens due to high stress. So I was working 16-hour days. I wasn't taking any vacations. It was a new job for me. I had just graduated with my PhD. So I was burnt out. And because of that, I developed this disorder that actually goes undiagnosed quite frequently among working moms, among entrepreneurs, and everyone who you can imagine that is under high stress. And so for me, I wanted a holistic way of treating it. This, you can treat it, it'll take 3 to 6 months. And the way to do it is diet, exercise, and meditation. So I put together a whole regimen for me to heal. And that was the birth of morning routines. And so I figured, oh, this is working out pretty well for me. I wonder what morning routines look like for other business owners, for other entrepreneurs.
And based off the research you've done, you've come up with 9 actions to do in the morning. So let's jump right into those. What are these 9 morning actions that will improve the quality of our lives?
Absolutely. Good question, Callie. So 9 actionable items done in 9 minutes. Now, this is meant to hack your morning. So if you don't have time for a morning routine, this is designed to help you out. If you don't have 10 minutes to devote to yourself, then you don't have a life. Let me say it right now, because that will be very challenging to say you don't have the time to help shift your life to a new direction for the better. So the 9 actionable items are called HIT savers. HITSAVERS. And each acronym is a habit. So for H, it's hydration. It's hydrating first thing in the morning. And a lot of entrepreneurs, these are the things that are coming up for every entrepreneur that I speak to. These are the 9 reoccurring items that come up for them. So it's fascinating, right? It's mind blowing. They're hydrating first thing in the morning. And that's to get rid of brain fog. When you wake up in the morning and you are at a fasted state for 6 to 8 hours at night. So you need to replenish to help the body rid of toxins in the morning. So hydration first thing in the morning. I have a thing called a morning cocktail. I add a pinch of Himalayan salt in it to help adding electrolytes.
And with hydrating, you know, I've heard so many different things that you should be drinking ice cold water, that you should be drinking lukewarm, that you should add lemon. What do you recommend?
I recommend room temperature because you don't want to shock the body so early on. And this is something you do within the first like 10 minutes of rising, and you do it on an empty stomach. So room temperature is best because you absorb it better and faster.
Okay. So you could like put a cup of water on your nightstand before you go to bed, and then it's perfect to drink in the morning.
That's right. And that's why a lot of the entrepreneurs will say the morning routine starts the night before, because it takes planning and preparation. And so that's hydration. And I wrote a book on it. I can send you the link to share with your audience. And it's called Hydration First Things First, The Power of a Habit Can Control Your Destiny. And I break down the benefits of doing it and using Himalayan salts and how we're 87% of the population are deficient in magnesium, which is Himalayan is high, has high minerals in.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to include a link to the book in the show notes. And then what is the action for I?
I am grateful. So it's an I am grateful journal. You wake up and 3 things you're grateful for. I'm grateful for my kids. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for my means, for food, you name it. That attitude of gratitude first thing in the morning breeds more things for you to be grateful for throughout the day. It's fantastic because psychologists and doctors have said what you do in the first 8 minutes set the tone for the rest of the day. So if you're starting with gratitude, guess what? You will have this like just happy hormones carrying you throughout the day. T is for time's up. Get your butt out of bed and make it. And that's easily said. A made up bed is a made up mind, because you have accomplished your first task of the day. It will breed more productivity for you throughout the day.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm super lazy with my bed. I almost never make it.
It's a lot cleaner when you get back into it after a long day too, but it will help with productivity. There's studies done on that as well for the making your bed first thing in the morning. Savers. So S is for silence, and this is intentional silence. And that equates to meditation. It could simply be observing your breath, taking 5 deep breaths just to kind of make yourself present in the moment for the first, for like 60 seconds. I mean, remember, Callie, all these is like you can do these in 1 minute each if you don't have the time, and you will see the benefits. Now you can do longer, but if you do 1 minute of just like some deep breathing and actually calming the mind down, this is what the silence is for. It's intentional silence. You are quieting down. You are just watching your breath so that you can do some sort of meditation. A is for affirmation. Now, affirmations are big because we have rancid negative thoughts going, popping up like popcorns in our head all the time. It's hard to quiet down. And Dr. Amen terms it ant. We all have ant, automated negative thoughts. And it could be, you know, we're socially constructed that way. The child is growing up, hears no over 1,000 times. And so we have these thoughts that saying, I'm not enough. I'm not talented. I don't have what it takes. They don't like me. So we have to work on using positive affirmation to reframe our way of thinking, the language that we're having with ourselves. It's crucial. So that's what affirmation is for in the Hit Savers.
And what type of affirmations do you recommend? Like the I am affirmations or something different?
I am affirmations, because anything you put after I am becomes your truth, becomes your reality.
And are these something that you should be verbally speaking out loud or just in your head?
There's power in the tongue. So I would suggest speaking it out loud, claiming it over yourself. It's a declaration. And for the V, we have a visioneering. So it's visualization with a twist. So visioneering is actually thinking about a winning feeling. So at one point you were very happy and you were very present. You were in the moment. And so you kind of relive that moment for like a minute. And then that could be like when you graduated college, you graduated school, your first child was born, the first time you fell in love, you know, those feelings, like you're so in the moment, you can remember them forever, right? Those experiences. And so if you take that good feeling with you to a future goal, what's happening is the brain is being reminded that, oh, I've already achieved this because I've already felt the feelings for this. So it's easier for you to accomplish your new goal. So it's visualization, but with the twist of adding emotions to it.
I love that. Yeah, I've heard that's very powerful for manifesting.
Yes, because you got to get to a frequency where we're a bundle of energy, right? We're made of energy. So you need that feeling to reach the level of frequency that your goal is at, because you have not quite reached it yet. E is for exercise. And exercising, as you know, the slew of benefits for working out in the morning. If you can't get a 20 to 30 minute workout in, if you get down and do 10, 20 push-ups, that elevates your heart rate. Now, having that elevated, it's going to give you more energy throughout the day. It's like a hack, a trick to let the body know I've worked out, but you really haven't. I'm not saying it's a substitute for your workout, but just getting that exercise in throughout the day really helps you with focus. It helps you to be more alert. And the beauty of it, when I get this done, is like I've done the hardest part of my day. I've worked out. I've taken care of myself. Therefore, whatever the day throws your way, you're ready for it. You're prepared.
So if possible, we should be working out for 20 to 30 minutes. But if that's not possible, to just get down and do 1 minute of body exercises.
Yes. Mountain climbers, push-ups, sit-ups, butt lifts. I like to do those.
Yeah. And no fancy equipment required.
Nope. Just your own body weight. And in a minute will go by fast, but you'll notice you're breathing harder. You're breathing faster and your heart rate has escalated. And this is good. This is very good for you. And throughout the day, you'll realize like, oh, I have a lot more focus. I can concentrate better. The R is for read. You could read something stimulating, mentally stimulating, something that can help you learn something new, something to help you grow. 1 minute, we're hacking your morning here. 1 minute is good enough. And that's like 2-3 pages, if that, right? It's nothing. It's not a big commitment.
There's so many apps out there that will like make the news easily digestible. I get the Skim newsletter in my inbox every morning. And that's something that I love to skim through and see what's going on in the world. Or, you know, there's the random article feature on Wikipedia if you want to learn something new. You know, getting a new fact, new piece of information every morning sounds like a great way to help boost your brain.
Yeah, to build your confidence up, to learn something new. It really is helpful to just grow, to help you grow. One thing you should not be reading, though, Callie, or anyone else, and I fight myself to not do as well, is reading your social media feeds.
Yes, yeah.
it's getting on your social media feed and scrolling through, because that's letting the world in before you've actually taken care of yourself. You don't want to do that, because habits, we form them whether we want to or not. They like creep up on us, right? Because the habits are forming without our permission. So if, for example, you start your day and you scroll through social media, I guarantee you, if you run this test tomorrow, you'll realize every hour you have the urge to check it. Yeah. But if you don't check it for the first like 1 or 2 hours, then it's less likely you'll check it every hour. It might be every 2 hours. It's lessened the time frame that you'd go check it.
Yeah, I've been on a social media detox for almost an entire month now. And those first few days were hard. I was picking up my phone constantly to get on social media until I remembered I didn't have the app anymore. And it was crazy to realize what a crutch I was using it as. And one of my favorite business role models, Marie Forleo, she says to create before you consume. And I just love that quote. And it's such a good reminder to kind of do your own thing before, as you said, you let the world in.
Yeah. And you formed a habit and you saw how hard it was to break away from it, because that's happening without you cognizantly knowing. Right. And it's happening all to all of us. And so when you attempted to break this habit, you struggled.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to replace it with something else, because you can't break a habit by just eliminating. You know, it has to be replaced. And the last one is S, and it's for shower. It's make the last 60 seconds ice cold.
No. Yeah. I'm the kind of person who takes a shower that is scalding hot, like almost unbearable. And the thought of a cold shower sounds horrible.
It's rejuvenating. It helps with depression. It helps with anxiety. And it's making you comfortable with being uncomfortable. Because if you can do that in the shower, then imagine other areas in life, how it transcends. Because you'll become more acclimated to being the discomfort that you're like, it's okay. It's not the end of the world.
True. Now, can we turn the shower hot after 60 seconds of cold?
Sure.
Okay. Maybe I can bear it then. I'll have to try this tomorrow.
Yeah. And once what's happening too is that the shock, there's a deep breathing happening. Like Tony Robbins does this on a daily basis. He like dumps himself in ice cold water every morning. But there's the priming going on because you're breathing heavily. You're taking like 35 breaths and you're bringing oxygen to the brain. That's helping you relax. That's helping with clarity. It's fascinating. That's going to be my next book, because I'm doing a series on each module.
Now, I'm curious, why is it important to do these 9 action steps in the morning instead of maybe in the evening when people generally have more free time?
Well, because we as human beings are so tied to the sunrise and the sunset. So after sunset, about a few hours after sunset, the melatonin raises in our system. And that forces us, that's why we should go to bed around 10 o'clock when it's at its peak, its highest, because it starts to whittle down around 2 a.m. So if you go to bed after 10, you find it harder for you to go to sleep because you get a second wind, second energy, burst of energy that you don't need, that you can't do anything with it. And also your quality of sleep is not the same. That's just the chemicals.
Now, what do you recommend for people who have irregular work schedules and can't follow the sunrise and the sunset?
For a morning routine?
Yes.
So for a morning routine, whenever your morning begins.
Okay.
But if you're starting work at 8, 9 o'clock, your morning should have started 2 hours ago.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I worked graveyard for over a year. And so I was getting up when most people were going to bed. And I remember how out of whack that threw my body. It was such a confusing time period. And I just didn't feel natural instinctively at all.
Yeah, it really is a force because it throws you off guard completely, because again, we're so connected as human beings to the sunrise and the sunset when we should be resting and be feeling rejuvenated. Now, Oprah, Winfrey, Warren Buffett, those people are getting up at 4:30 in the morning because they understand that's where motivation happens. That's where the magic happens at that hour, because that's where you get to work on yourself, because you are at a alpha state. You're half asleep, half awake. So the brain is more susceptible to receiving affirmation, declarations, and meditation, because again, that's going to set the tone for the rest of your day. And so doing that day in and day out, you see their lives, you can see the impact it will have after a week, after a month, after 1 year. Like, you will accomplish a lot more because you're training your brain in such a positive way. It's also said that if you wake up an hour before you are scheduled to, by the end of the year, you will have gained 6 weeks. because the rest of the world is still sleeping when you're up. And by then you've already worked out, you've already meditated, you've already given yourself an hour for personal growth.
Do you have any recommendations to help people wake up earlier? I know especially a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, I wake up when my kids wake me up or that sort of thing. What tips do you have?
It all starts the night before. It takes a little preparation and it takes practice. And that's why with habit forming, you have to gradually ease into it because the brain is designed to protect you. So anything unfamiliar, it's scary and you're not going to want to do it. There's no motivation, no desire to do it whatsoever. So that's why you ease into it. There's this thing called habit stacking where you can actually group your habits so it's easy for you to do it as an individual. So for recommendations for waking up early is aiming for that 10 p.m. bedtime, if feasible. You can do this so every night you can set your alarm to go 10 minutes closer to that 10 p.m. bedtime. Set the alarm anyway, even if you don't do it. Tomorrow you set it again so that it's closer. It's closer until you've accomplished that 10 p.m. bedtime. And you will feel more rejuvenated. But if you don't do it, you don't go to sleep by 10, still wake up early. Guess what will happen throughout the day? You'll be more tired. So the second night, it'll be easier for you to make it closer to that 10 p.m. bedtime.
Now, do you follow these 9 steps every morning yourself?
I do, yeah. More mornings when I have, because I too have a podcast when I have interviews. If I have interviews at 6 a.m., I'm up at 4:30. If I don't have interviews at 6 a.m. and I have to be at work at 8, then I'm up at 5:30. And because it takes me an hour to do it all. It takes me an hour to do it all. That's without the workout. But that's also including a half hour read. Now, if I am rushing, I got to catch a plane or I am on the road, I'll do just 9 minutes. Some Sunday mornings, I do 9 minutes. And it's better than nothing because it's how habits are formed. It's repetition. Because now it's become so normal for me. It's ingrained. I wake up. The first thing I do is turn on, grab that glass of water and then turn on my meditation app.
What meditation app do you use?
I use Oak.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Oak is through the Apple Store. There's a free version that has so many options that you don't even need to pay for it. I use Headspace for a while. And Headspace is really for beginners because it really talks about how to observe your breath. It centers you. So it's very good for beginners. I did use that initially, and now I use Oak. And I only do it for 10 minutes.
We just started to touch on habits, and I want to delve more into that. Something that you mentioned on your website is the habit loop. What is that?
Okay. So the habit loop is how we form new habits or the way we can get rid of old habits. So let me share a little something with you first. So we have what we call the habit mind. The conscious mind is considered our creative mind. And we live out of that creative mind only 5% of the time in a day. Scary, right? The subconscious mind, which is considered the habit mind, we live there 95% of the time. And this is, let me show you how. So let's imagine when you were learning how to drive a vehicle. Driver's ed, both hands on the steering wheel. You're checking all your 3 mirrors. You are contemplating for minutes about whether you're going to take a left turn or not. Put your blinkers on. You were so diligent. You were so alert. You were so focused because you did not want to do anything wrong. It was something new you were learning and you just wanted to be very careful, right? Now, time gone by, 2 months later, you've gotten your license and now you can drive by yourself. You can even drive at night. What happened? We've become a little more relaxed. We got one hand on the steering wheel. We're drinking coffee while we're driving. For some of us, we're putting mascara while we're driving in traffic. And so we've taken that skill, the driving skill from the conscious mind to the subconscious mind. Now we are on autopilot. Sometimes I get home and I'm like, how the heck did I get here?
Yes, I've experienced that. It's a little freaky.
Scary. But the mind is designed to protect you because imagine if you were thinking about everything, so every detail of every item, every occasion of your life. We couldn't survive that. The brain is designed to protect us. And that's why it's hard for us sometimes to learn to do something new, to learn a new habit, because the mind's like, that's different. I don't like it. I need to protect you. You're in danger. So once we understand that the brain is designed to help us, we need to actually do the work to build new habits. to create new habits or to reframe those negative thoughts or affirmations, right? To create new affirmations so that we can learn something new or have a different image of ourselves. Subconscious mind is 95%, one autopilot. We go to work, autopilot. We sit at the desk, autopilot. It's 5 o'clock, it's autopilot. It's 2 o'clock, we need to go for a snack, autopilot. And that's how the mind is designed. So now a way to form a habit is through what we call the habit loop. Now, the habit loop, there are three facets to it. There's a cue, a routine, and then a reward. That's the habit loop. You have to identify before you do anything, what was the trigger? What was the cue that forces that routine, that habit to take place? And then what was the reward that was at the end of it that causes you to actually proceed and act it on the routine? So a good example of a cue would be an ice cream truck sound. That's a great cue to tell you ice cream's around the corner. You start thinking about ice cream and how good it's going to taste and on a warm day. And then the reward is that satisfaction once you get it. So you got to be able to identify the cue to a habit. Is it hunger? Why do you get up for the 2 o'clock afternoon snack at the office? Although you head to the water cooler, is it because you want to socialize? Is it because you're bored? Is it because you're really hungry? Is it low blood sugar? What is it that's triggering that 2 p.m. I got to go get a snack? The cue can also be it could be anyone. It could be someone. So a quick example for the habit loop, and I'm going to give you all facets of it right now, is I used to drink alcohol and I no longer drink alcohol. It's been over a year, but my fiance makes kombucha. And mm-hmm. So he will make kombucha. I'll have it at his house and he'll give me my own batch to take to my place. We don't live together. We're not married yet. And so I'll have my own bottle of kombucha, but I won't drink it because I've associated kombucha with my fiance. And the reason why I associate it with him is because every time we grab a glass of kombucha, it's us sitting on the couch talking about our day, talking about how everything went. That's my cue to relax. The kombucha is the cue to have that drink. And so the actual routine is drinking kombucha. It's actually the act of doing it. So as a reward is me to, when we're chatting about our days, it's for me to de-escalate. It's for me to like, let go of the day. That's my reward. That's my way of unwinding. Now, before I stopped drinking, that used to be wine. One glass later, one bottle later, you know how the story goes.
Yeah.
So that was my association with kombucha. So even if he makes me my own flavor and I take it home, I don't drink it because the cue, he's my cue. So if I don't see him, if I don't have him, I won't have the kombucha. So that's what a habit loop looks like. And so when I work with clients, we identify for specific habits, what are these three things? Because once we identify these three things, then we're able to either replace them or eliminate them. But we cannot eliminate a habit. We can only replace it, but we can replace the cue. We can keep the reward the same, but find different triggers.
Yes, let's talk about that more and both sides of it. While we're developing a habit, how do we not give up on it? How do we keep going and make that an actual habit? And then on the other side of that, how do we break a habit? How do we kick a bad habit?
So bad habits are replaced, not eliminated. To replace bad habit, you have to replace it with a new one. Let's give a very general one. If it's a habit of smoking, do you go for a smoke because you need a breather, you need a break, or do you need to socialize and talk to somebody? Once you find out what that is, that you can replace the cue. You can surround, you can just, instead of going for that cigarette, you can just grab a friend and then go for a walk or just go by their desk and talk. And then you'll realize then that's going to slowly start shifting, changing that habit. And you do it long enough, you're going to just want to, habitual habits by creature that we are, you'll just want to go straight and talk to your coworker or your friend instead of going downstairs for that cigarette. We have to be able to, again, with the habit, replace it.
When we're in the middle of developing a habit, how do we keep to it and not give up?
So in the process, during the inception of instilling a habit, it's accountability, it's keeping a journal about it, writing down what came up, and also rewarding yourself for doing it. So there's small wins. You have to be able to celebrate the little wins when you accomplish something. And so when you are in the grind and you identified the first cue, say if it's for you to go to sleep at that 10, you set the alarm clock for 9:55 and it goes off, you actually celebrate that. because the mind likes familiarity. You're going to start saying, oh, I got rewarded. I got, and even if your reward is a glass of milk, if your reward is something tangible, something actionable that you can do immediately as it takes place, the brain starts associating it with the positive reinforcement.
My last question for you is what is your favorite quote about success?
Oh, favorite quote about success for me personally is Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn says you can't pay someone to do your push-ups. So you have to be able to do the grunt work. You have to be able to put the disciplines in place. You have to be able to do the habits. One thing I want to share with you, Callie, is there are keystone habits that will be a domino effect to other areas of your life. And I want to give you a list of what these keystone habits are.
Yeah, definitely.
These are, man, tried and true. The first one is establishing a morning routine, a healthy morning routine. No surprise that's first on the list, right?
Yeah, of course.
It's really, really powerful. The second one is making your bed because of the productivity piece of it. Because these are the keystone habits. They're small wins. They're small changes to carry over to other aspects of your life, essentially. Meditation is always one of them. Planning out your day, journaling, writing it out, visualizing, exercising regular, having family dinner, because that, if you think about it, is a family is the first organization we're part of. So if you can establish the bonding between you and family members and loved ones, then you will be, it'll help with social skills. It'll help you with other relationships outside of that circle. Tracking what you eat is important. And the last one is having strong willpower. And this is my favorite one because it's also the most important habit, willpower, because willpower helps you do better in other areas of your life. I read the book by Keller, The One Thing, that says willpower is not at your will. Essentially, what that means is it's not at your beck and call. Willpower is the highest during the morning, but throughout the day, we lose it. Why do you think that happens? Decision making. Just making decisions throughout the day just kind of drains you. It drains your willpower. So if you ever had a weight loss goal and you say you're going to stay away from that donut and you're doing so well until it's late at night, you're fatigued, your willpower is low, you've had a long day, that donut is looking mighty good right now.
You don't want to cook dinner. It's so much easier to just order pizza.
Yep. And that's willpower for you. It's not at your beck and call. It's highest in the morning. And so how do you conserve your willpower? Because if you have willpower in one thing, you'll have willpower in other things. That's where self-discipline is birthed out of, right? And so in the morning, you'll see like Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg. These guys wear the same shirt. It's not the same one, but they were the same. Their outfits don't change much because they don't spend their time in the morning trying to figure out what to wear. They're saving that decision-making power for bigger things.
Interesting. So it's decision fatigue, I think, is the term I've heard.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And one way to increase your willpower, and I'll leave you with this powerful note, to finish what you start. And by that, I mean, before you go to bed the night before, you prepare, you brush your teeth, you put on your PJs, you get ready, you get into bed. But when we get out of bed in the morning, we don't tend to finish it. And I didn't either until about 7 months ago. We don't make our bed. We don't finish what we started. We started the sleeping cycle, but we didn't end it. Same thing with making dinner, where we cooked it, we prepped it, we cooked, we ate, we got clean dishes, we ate, and then we're done eating, we put dishes in the sink, and we walk away. We're not finishing what we start. And the best way to increase willpower is to finish what you start.
That is a great place to end. I love that. And I'm especially guilty of leaving dirty dishes in the sink after dinner, too. So that's a good place to start for me personally. Now, where can we go to learn more about you, your podcast, your books, and the work that you're doing?
So I am on all social media. It's Best Morning Routine is my social handle. My website is lunidlouis.com. So it's LUNIDELOUIS.com. On there, you'll have access to my books, my coaching sessions, as well as my app. I have an app coming out. So all the hit savers that I mentioned, I have compiled them and put it all in an app that is launching in about a month. And so information about the app is also can be found on my website. And of course, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can find the Best Morning Routine Ever, where I chat with entrepreneurs about their morning routine and also their businesses and what makes them successful.
That's amazing. I cannot wait to look at your app, and we'll definitely include a link to all of that in the show notes. So thank you so much for taking the time to share this information. And I hope that our listeners try at least, you know, maybe we can't start with all 9 right tomorrow morning, but at least start implementing these and see what difference it makes. Now it's time to take action, and Luneed gave us 9 action steps to take. So I would love to hear from you guys. Try some of these or all of these tomorrow morning and let me know how it went. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram at hippiehavenshop. I'd love to know how you felt after trying this morning routine, especially that cold shower. If you know someone who'd enjoy the Hippie Haven podcast, share it with them or on social media. If you post on Instagram, don't forget to tag and follow me at hippiehavenshop. This podcast is produced with the help of my new communications coordinator, Sophia, who also runs our Hippie Haven Facebook group. You can support the work we do by leaving a review for the podcast in whichever app you're using to listen, or buy us a virtual cup of coffee to keep us going. Visit buymeacoffee.com/hippiehaven to support the work we do with just $4. And don't forget to go vote for us for Bestowed Essentials to win the $50,000 FedEx grant. You can vote every single day until March 8th. And the link to vote is in the show notes for this episode. It's on the hippiehavenpodcast.com website, and it's in our Instagram bios. It's on the Hippie Haven Facebook page. You can find it. Please vote. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I hope you have a great rest of your day.